Oh, pardon of sins and be transformed into a new life. Look down upon them, Lord, and fill them with your Spirit this day. In the name of Jesus Christ, those that did not yield today, continue to speak to their hearts until they say yes to your will. We thank you for it. In the matchless name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I want to speak a few words to you today that I firmly feel that God has laid on my heart. I want to talk to you about something that you very seldom hear anything about today in the church. I want to talk to you about holiness. God has a standard for his people. And the world today does not know much of anything, if anything, about the standard of God. And Hebrews 12, verse 14, a solemn verse. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God. Lest there be any root of bitterness springing up, trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornication or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. I have been meditating on this thought of holiness. Seriously, if there's anyone that knows anything about holiness, the church ought to know it. And I realize that today, holiness and righteousness is something that is not expected in the lives of many men and women in the church. But there are two words that I want to leave in your mind today, and one of them is holiness, and the other word is church. The word holiness means separated from, and it has a positive aspect, dedicated to. And the word church means to be brought out of. And today the church is losing much of what it ought to have from God, because it is not standing for what it should be standing for, where God is concerned. There's a hymn that black ancestry used to sing that is more true today than it was when they were singing it. And that is, everybody talking about heaven's not going there. That may be frightening to some of you, but it shouldn't. We're told in a song again, heaven is a holy place, filled with glory and with grace. Sin can never enter there. All within its gates are pure, from defilement kept secure. Sin can never enter there. And while this subject may be foreign to many of you, and I would hope that it wasn't to anybody, holiness is the standard of God. And we are not going to be able to excuse ourselves for not living holy. We're not going to be able to tell God any reason why we didn't and expect God to justify it. For God has performed a miracle in every child of God's life so they can live like He wants them to live. God knows that sin is a disgrace to heaven and it's a failure to man. There is no such thing as a good sin. All sin is evil. It doesn't make any difference who commits it, it's evil. And until the church can come to a place that it separates good from evil, sin from holiness, Christ from Satan, heaven from hell, the church is not ready to meet her Lord. Today, so far as lives go, anything goes. I never thought that I would live to see a day when men and women publicly tell of their hellish way of living. People have lost their good sense. They have lost any kind of religious consciousness. A man said the other day that he wasn't talking to me, but I heard him. That this generation has left every sense of morality. Anything goes. And there's some foolish folks in this world, in this nation of ours. Some of the television talk shows that they call them are a disgrace to the folk that are on them. If I was living like some of the folk live, I'd almost sue somebody for putting it in the paper. And yet those folk get on the air between 15, 20 million folk looking at the show and tell all of the ungodliness that is in their lives. No help. No help coming from the show. No help coming from the leader. Many times the things that are said are far from being true. And the sad thing is that you find so many of them talking about being Christians and born again and yet doing everything the devil is asking folk to do. I want you to know this afternoon, these few minutes I talk to you, that there is a holiness. There is a separation that God means for every Christian to make. God has given us an experience, and that experience that He has given us was designed to separate us from the world. So that we can say, as it is said in the world, in the world, but not of the world. We live in Indianapolis, but we're not a part of the devilment and sin and evil and wickedness in Indianapolis. And if you can't say that, you need to be born again. God never came down to earth to make a playhouse for sin. Every man and woman in the church ought to hate sin. And whatever sin that may still be lingering behind, we ought to be able not only to hate it, but pray against it. The Bible said in the 2 Thessalonians, the 2nd chapter and the 7th verse, For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who letteth will let. Until he be taken out of the world. As I said to the class Wednesday night, every child of God should be a sin hinderer. The devil ought to know that when he comes to your door with whatever he has, he knocked on the wrong door. He ought to know that he's been turned down so many times by you that he's wasting his time coming to your door presenting anything. And I know we have put sin into two categories. We have the A list for sin and the B list. And of course, in the A list is adultery, fornication, stealing, lying, cheating, fighting, hating. But may I say to you, there is more to sin than that. Adam was not a whiskey hit. He was not a woman chaser. He did not gamble. He didn't know a thing about dope. But he put all of us in a shape that heaven had to help us out. And the only thing he did was disobey God. And the Bible has let us know that obedience is better than sacrifice. And to hearken is better than the fat of rams. And yet, you can't get children of God to recognize the fact that obedience takes preeminence where God is concerned. God would have you rather have you obey him than to give him $1 million. It is belittling to God for any man or woman to disobey him, and especially the children of God. Praise the Lord. And I want to leave one note in your mind today, and that is that heaven isn't happy with disobedience. Heaven doesn't tolerate disobedience. The angel that lived in heaven left heaven because of disobedience to God's word. And Adam left his Garden of Eden because of disobedience. There wasn't another man there. There wasn't another woman there. There was no one that he could point his finger at and say, if it hadn't been for old Edwards, I never would have sinned. If it had not been for old Jim, I never would have done it. None of us are going to offer God that excuse and get by. You're not going to be able to put what you are on somebody else and clear yourself. You have the last word to say before you commit any act of good or evil. You can't lay it on nobody else but yourself. Yeah, I know. If we would let God listen to our story, there's a whole lot of folks that would go to hell because of, I said, he is the cause. But the God we're dealing with knows us better than any lie we tell. The God we're dealing with knows us better than any sin we commit. And he knows that no one can make you say yes or no if you don't want to say it. You are man, and God's going to hold you responsible for the life you live. God's not going to send half Indianapolis to hell because you did not stop smoking cigarettes. God's not going to send him in the whiskey store to hell because you could buy a half pint. A woman is on TV now in court, and she wants to sue a tobacco company because her husband smoked cigarettes for 40 years and then died. And she's trying to get $2 million out of the tobacco company. I doubt whether she'll get it, and she oughtn't to get it. The tobacco company didn't make him smoke 3 packages of cigarettes a day. The tobacco company didn't take him to the store, amen, and make him buy cigarettes. Amen. That was his mind. That was his heart. And let me tell you something, child of God. There's no devil in hell that can make you sin if you don't want to sin. Did you hear me? No devil nowhere. And there's no devil nowhere that can make you fail the righteousness of God if you don't want to fail. It's all left up to you which way you go. And this book has said we have to live peaceably with all men. Can I, Lord have mercy, I could preach all afternoon. Because there's a lot of sins that a whole lot of children of God are covering over. Amen. And it's not going to the tavern. It's not having a drinking binge. It's not going a playing policy or lottery. But listen, honey, some of God's children have some wrong spirits this afternoon. Did you hear me? Amen. Some of them are just as hateful as they can be, and saying he'll understand, he'll say, well done. He already understands. As told you and me before we got here, love your enemy, pray for them that despitefully use you, bless them that curse you, do good to them that do you evil. That's already in the book. And lets us know that we should love one another. We're not going to heaven full of hatred. We're not going to heaven full of evil. We're not going to take any of Indianapolis to the holy city. There's no sin practiced out here that you're going to find in heaven. Heaven is a holy place, and you're going to be holy if you get there. Amen. Father, peace. You know, some children of God don't even want to be kind. They don't like to be gentle, hard, bad. But listen, somebody has said, and I'm saying it again, you have two choices. It's either holiness or hell. Make your choice. And you're not going to heaven taking all hell to heaven. The holy city is not going to be like Indianapolis. They'll have no jails. They'll have no prisons. They'll have no lawyers. They'll have no judges. That's all over. And we're going to get out of it before we go up there. We're not going to take any of that there with us. Without holiness, no man, no man shall see the Lord. And you might as well just get it down in your mind. I want to go. But along with that, I'll have to live holy. And don't just say, well, I'm not as bad as that. Don't listen. It don't have to be as bad as. If it's sin, you're blocked. Amen. You don't have to be a prostitute. You don't have to be a homosexual. You don't have to be a lesbian. It's wrong, any one of those three terms. It's just as wrong as hell is. There's no practicing sinner of any kind that's going to heaven. If you're just too proud to humble yourself before God, you've missed it. Pride goes before destruction. This book said it. And a haughty look before a fall. Some of us feel like we're just so much that heaven ought to be glad that he see me there. It will be glad for you to be there if you do what you ought to do to get there. But God is not going to tear up the order of heaven to get you there in your sinfulness. Can I tell you something? You don't have to live in sin. Everybody in this church ought to be able to say amen. You don't have to have a nasty disposition. You don't have to be evil. You don't have to be a liar. You don't have to be jealous. You don't have to be envious. You don't have to be mischievous. God has fixed it so the whole of you can be changed. And if you don't believe that, you don't believe that Jesus died on the cross. Calvary was no play toy. It was God's way of getting out of you all that was in you that would cause you to be lost. And any man or woman that goes to hell passed by Calvary with his nose turned up. Calvary stands between every sinner and the lake of fire. And anybody that goes to that lake disregarded the blood of Jesus Christ shed at Calvary to take all sin out of you and get you fit to go to heaven. Nobody's going to bypass Calvary and go to heaven. When you stop to think of Calvary, and may I say something to you? If you bypass Calvary, there's no good that it can be said about you. Listen, the Calvary story is not a story of all bloodiness and all misery. There were some positive things that happened that you can't see at Calvary. You saw a bloody body. You saw nailed hands. You saw a crown thorn brow. You saw a pierce in the side. But that's what you saw that brought benefits that you couldn't see. Today, the worst sinner might be in the very lowest pit of hell. But was it Jonah that prayed and said, from the belly of hell I cried unto God. Down at the foot of the mountain, seaweeds wrapped around him, he called on God, and God heard down there and made that fish spit him out. God did more than that for you at Calvary. God took, my friend, every charge that could be brought against you. Every charge that you brought against yourself by what you did. At Calvary, God did something to it. Hallelujah. He made it possible that you be cleansed from all of your sin. And any man that's still saying, I can't help myself, you don't know Calvary. You don't know Jesus. For Jesus came in the world to help you in such a way that no devil can call back what he did. Hallelujah. At Calvary, Jesus hanging out there was sin. 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, said he became sin for us who knew no sin. You should have been at Calvary. But they didn't have a hill nowhere in the world to have all sinners hanging on the cross. But at Calvary, in the mind of God, every man born a sinner, his load of sin was on his back. Every liar's lie. Every hater's hate. Every jealous, jealousy. Every evil, evil. Every drunkard's drunkenness. Every thief's thievery. Every fornicator's fornication. Every lesbian's lesbianism. Every homosexual, all of his men beats. All sin was laid on him. and he became sin for us all. For what reason? That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's more than you can put in words. Complete dirty can be complete clean. Complete low can complete high. Complete nasty can become complete good. Just through what Jesus did for him at Calvary. And he didn't go to Calvary just to take some sin away that you don't like, but let you keep the rest. But he came to Calvary to let you have a hate for sin. And you know what you ought to be able to say, child of God? I hate sin. I don't know about you, but I hate sin. Hate it. If I find evidence in myself, I hate it. I know that's not what God wants me to be. There's no such thing as a good sin. Everybody's quiet now. And when some, you see, God many times sends us through different situations so we can see ourselves. And when you see yourself and see something in there that you don't like, remember God doesn't like it either. And you're not going to take yourself out of here to go where everything is positive and right with something in you that you hate that heaven can't stand. What am I going to do? First of all, you're going to have to develop a hate for sin. There's no such thing as good sin. Well, mine was just a little bitty sin. That's enough. That's enough. And it's in the sight of God. It costs God more to help you and me as sinners than it did for all the creation. All God had to do was make trees to speak. All God had to do to have an ocean, speak. All God had to do to have fish, speak. All God had to do to have everything that's here did not cost as much as it cost for God to help you so you could be free from sin. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I'm saved. I am glad I am saved. I'm glad. I say myself, what? Broke? Yes, I've been broken, saved, and still happy. I had a time when I thought I never would have another dollar in my pocket for so long. But that not having no money didn't keep me happy in my soul. You see, God did not come to give you a brand new house and a brand new this year's model automobile and closet full of $250 suits and $150 shoes. He didn't come to do that. Amen. He said that could be added if you first seek the kingdom of God and its righteousness. All these things would be added. You walk with God and you don't know what God's got down the path if you walk with him. Just keep on walking with him. Amen. There's a whole lot of things you don't even have to ask him for. Just seek the kingdom of God and its righteousness. And if you seek that kingdom and the righteousness of God as you walk down the path of right, you don't know what God's coming into your life will bring. There's promises in your Bible that has promised you more than you could even think. Blessed is the man. We don't like this kind of blessed man, but he's the only kind of blessed man he is. Blessed is the man that does it. He's got some places he can't walk. Amen. He can't walk with everybody. He can't hobnob with whiskey heads. He can't make drunkards his buddies. He can't make gamblers his friends. He doesn't hang around whiskey houses when he hates whiskey. Blessed is the man that doesn't do his walking. And that's not all. Now standeth in the way of sinners. No saint ought to be found where sinners are going in and out for their pleasure. I'm just a good preacher friend of mine some years ago here in Indianapolis felt bad because folk were talking about him because he went into the taverns because men in the taverns had told him to come on in there and they'd give him money for his broadcast. And I went to see him when he was sick. He said, Golder, I don't know why people talk about me so bad. I'm not drinking anything. I said, yes, I can understand. But you're in the wrong place. You're where the drinkers have their headquarters. Amen. No saint is supposed to be hobnobbing with sinners. Amen. Save young ladies with unsaved boyfriends. Save boyfriends with unsaved girlfriends. That's clear out of line. Standeth in the way of sinners. If you're holy, what are you doing out there? Your Bible has said ye are the light of the world. Folk ought to be able to look at you and see what it means to be a Christian. They ought to be able to see you on your job. And see you living up standards of Christian. See you as you go about your daily work and see Christ in you. You are the light of the world. A man or a woman ought to be able to meet you one on one and ask you, what does it mean to be a Christian? And you ought not to turn to your book. You ought to say, follow me. Follow me. Did you hear me? You are God's light in this world, honey. And you can't monkey around with darkness and be light. The darkness of this world puts your light out if you fool with it. They don't want you to have the light. But I'm determined. I'm determined to be wholly different. I hope I'm not by myself. I'm determined. I'm not going to, listen, there are a lot of good husbands that might not make it. They can't even get along with their wives. And I might as well say the same thing about wives. They can't get along with their husbands. And God in this word has given us the highest example of what a husband and wife should be like. Husbands, love your wife. And I'm going to say one rough one right here. Love is not all sex. You don't have to have any love to have sex. No, 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 no. Jesus is our example. Who did he have sex with? And he told the husband, love your wife as Christ loved the church. What did Christ do for the church? He gave himself for the church. Everything the church needs, he provided it for the church. As I told a young man this week, I was talking about marriage. Man's wife is his responsibility. The room doesn't have any husbands in it. His responsibility. God doesn't ask anybody to to help him do anything for the church. Before the church came into existence, he had it all ready for it when he got here. Husbands, be responsible for your wife. She ought not have to get out on her knees and genuflect to get a new pair of hose. She ought not have to call you, beloved Lord, my King, to get a new dress. She is your responsibility. Amen. And you should have known that before you said, I do. She might, in these critical times economically, she might want to help you. But she ought to want to help you because of her love for you. Not because you put before her a dictum. You either get yourself a job and work 8 hours like I do, or get out of here. Don't you worry about him. If that's his kind of mind, he's not going where he thinks he's going. Hallelujah. And you know, one of the reasons why so many wives are so slow about being submitted to their husband is because he is so bad. Such a I got some names. I'm pondering names before I let them come out. But a regular bully. Put her out on a job, she works 8 hours, comes in and gives him her check. He takes the check, takes out of it what he wants and gives her that back. Husband, you're doing well to be alive. God has never treated the church like that. Everything the church needs, God supplied it for the church. And he is my example. There's been a day in my life I couldn't buy a wife a pair of stockings. But this I did do. I promised that if ever God blessed me, if he ever blessed me with some money, not only the stockings, I'd put her in a house. And that I did. Amen. It's my responsibility. And marriage is not going to make two physical, biological goals. It's just another missus that said, I'm going to be his wife. But she didn't lose her mind when she said that. She can still think. And she doesn't have to use my head all the time. Sometimes she can tell me something's good for my head. I know some of you good husbands want me to go home right now, but I'm not through. The Bible said that wife should be a help meet. And I can say this, 3 marriages and I've had 3 genuine helpmeets. And that's what a wife is supposed to be. If the husband is the head, he doesn't have to always go, I'm the head of this family. Just act like a head. Just act like a head. A head's not a foot. A head's a head. And head's high. A head's not down in the mud. A head's not in the gutter. A head's high. Highest thing on you is your head. And if you're going to be a head, get high. Stop getting down in the dump and the dirt and say, I'm the head. Who's going to respect a dirty head? I'm moving on. I'm talking about holiness now. And holiness gets out of church. Holiness is not all in church. It's the child of God who came to church and found holiness and takes it back out where there is none. A child of God that leaves darkness and comes into light and goes back out in darkness where there is no light. And he or she becomes a light. Holiness raises your standard of living higher than it's ever been. Lord, you think this? Maybe you don't believe in holiness. And I'm beginning to think that some folks don't believe in it. We ought, the Bible says we ought to love one another as Christ loved us. Lord, before I get ready to get out of here to go to see Jesus, if I can't do it this morning, and I can do it this morning, I can tell saints and sinners I love them. I don't know anybody in my life, around my life, that I hate. Amen. I'm going up to a place where hate won't work. I'm not going to get that let it work. I'm going to change that down here. I'm not going to heaven with wrong in my mind. That's going out before I leave. I'm not going to heaven with jealousy in my mind. And some of God's children are so jealous they can't see another sister get an office that they don't have. And I have to say, sisters, that's worse with sisters than it is with brothers. Oh, yes, we have some bad acting brothers sometimes. But you can find all these little things. Oh, God. And people know. And they make excuses. Well, you know, my mother was like that. Stop laying your sin on your mother. Mom's not going to the lake for you. Heaven's going to find the difference between you and Mom. And you are responsible for your life, not Mom. A young black girl asked an old lady one time how she should live to have lovely children. The old lady told her, 20 years before they are born, you start living right. Now, I know that doesn't fit in our day. No, no. We've got these young women, 10 and 12 years old, having babies. The government is trying to catch up with all these fly-by-night rascals and try to pin them down and make them take care of these children, that these young women don't have anybody to take care of. The government's after them. Because all of these unwed teenage mothers is costing this government $16 million a year. And that's not God's fault. That's man's fault that wiped away all that God has said to give young people liberty. And they took the liberty, and now nobody knows what to say to do. We don't have enough places in Indianapolis for all of these young mothers with babies. They're trying to build places for them. And these youngsters that are responsible are running the street and not impregnating one girl, but a half dozen. If the young lady doesn't have any sense, half dozen, and keep on going. And the poor little weak thing says, he told me that he loved me. Anytime a man tells you, don't have to be a teenager, anytime a man tells you, woman, that he wants you completely and backs away from marriage to you, you tell him, get down the road. Praise the Lord. Some young people ought to be trying to get ready to go to heaven too. Not just old folks. Well, he's old. He don't think like I think. No, I don't. And I didn't think like you think. If that's what you think, I didn't think like you think when I was 25. There's a way that God's children are going to have to live if they expect to see Jesus. You know what he says here? Without holiness. Without holiness, forget seeing God. No man shall see the Lord. Forget it. And that's a hard, terrible price to pay when God has done something that can cleanse you, purify you, make you white as snow on the inside, and get you ready for heaven. Let me say this and I'm through. Don't let anybody make you think that when you close your eyes and draw your last breath, it's over. That's a lie. It's over here. But that is not the end of it. What ceases to be here will wind up in eternity, the hereafter. And there's nobody here that can take care of you in the hereafter but God. I don't know who it is that might be have a string on your life now, your gang, your friends, your club, your society, your education. It may be. But listen, there'll be nobody there out of those roofs to determine what your eternity will be. Only God will tell you what your eternity will be. And when I think of the word eternity, there's something that comes to mind that I read of a man that was trying to explain how long eternity would be. For you see, eternity has no days, no nights, no seconds, minutes, hours, days, weeks, or months, or years. Doesn't have any. It's just no time. It's eternity. And God only brought eternity into existence to deal with you, the creation. He doesn't need time. He is the eternal God. The Bible says, the eternal God is our refuge, and underneath are his everlasting arms. When we get out in eternity, and let me say that once you close your eyes and draw your last breath, all the folk down here that had anything to do with your life is shut out. And let me tell you, and if God doesn't know something about your life other than your sinfulness, he don't have but one thing to say. The lake. There'll be no preachers in heaven. There'll be no baptismal pool in heaven. There'll be nobody in heaven to pray for you because you missed it. You've gone beyond that and can't get back to it. Your doom is sealed for all eternity. I read some years ago where a young man writing, talking about time and eternity, and he said that if one man could get the job to move every grain of sand from the Pacific coastline to the Atlantic, one grain at a time, walk across the United States to the Atlantic, walk back and get another, by the time he had picked up the last grain of sand on the Pacific coastline, eternity would have just begun. You mean to tell me you're not going to be careful about how you walk? I'm going to be careful how I walk, talk, think, act. I don't mean to be lost. If God helps me, I don't mean to be anywhere close to the lake of fire. There's nothing in me too proud to tell anybody I'm sorry. There's nothing in me that's so proud that I can't give up something because somebody else wants it. Nothing. They can have it. There's nothing in me that's going to hate you for what little you have. Everybody's quiet now. There's nothing in me going to fall out with you because your hair is better than mine. That don't even make sense. Stay real long enough and your hair will fall out. Then who you'll be mad at? There's nothing in me that doesn't want to see you make it. God knows I'll pray with you, pray for you, do everything. God put me here to keep you from going to hell. That's my main job. As a fixture so you can go to heaven and miss hell. It is not God's will that any man perish. If you do, it's your fault, not his. He's made salvation so simple that you don't even have to be able to read and can still be saved. There's a brother sitting back there right now, sleep. But when he came in this church some years ago, my sister Paul brought him to me and asked me if I'd talk to him. I got two Bibles. When we went back in the room, he said, I can't read. I said, that's all right. I'll read to you. And if you can believe what I'm reading to you, God will save you. I read him the plan of salvation. Every time I'd read, he said, I believe that. I read it all, and when I got through, he says, now what must I do? And I said, if you believe it, you're ready to be baptized. He said, I believe it all. Took him, baptized him, in less than 15 minutes, speaking with tongues. I saw him the other Sunday making a circle running around here. Friends, that's been some years ago. But God does not want any human being in the lake. And you have to pass by Calvary, turn up your nose at it, say something terrible about it, to go to the lake. Don't be foolish. Sometimes I was coming back to St. Louis many years ago from Montville, Illinois. Got on the highway going home, got so far, and there was a rock in the road. Stop. Deep water. And instead of Morris Gold to stop it, dumb, I'm blessed to be here this morning. I ran down that road about 65 miles an hour. Went up a hill, came down looked like the Atlantic Ocean. Nothing but black water as far as eyes could see. Children of God, if I'd have been running 5 miles faster, I'd have ran off in the water. All right. I just stopped and there was water there. Sometimes, that sign was up there to keep me from doing what I was doing. Stop, deep water. That ought to be enough. Nobody ought to have to write me an essay. The water is 20 feet deep and you can't find your road when you get in that deep water. And you'll maybe drown in that. No. Stop ought to be enough. I didn't have that kind of sense. But I thank God every day for stopping me before it was too late. When I turned to go back, here come a white gentleman down all by himself in his car, and I rode my horn and told, hey, don't go down there. Some deep water. He said, which way are you going? I said, I'm going to take this road, hopefully going to St. Louis. Can I follow you? Yes. And we both wound up in St. Louis. Don't let men and women change your mind and make you to think you can do anything you want to do and still be saved. Don't let people change your mind and make you think, oh, they're old fogey folks. They don't know what life is all about. Don't let nobody make you think that. We've got a God to meet. And nobody is going to meet him. Our ancestors used to sing another song. You've got to stand your test in judgment. You've got to stand it for yourself. There's nobody here that can stand it for you. You've got to stand it for yourself. God bless you. I didn't get through, but I'm stopping. And that means I'll be back with the same subject. I don't mean for any child of God to be lost, because he doesn't know how he should live. We're ready to go. There may be somebody that has made up their mind since they stopped calling. If there is, you can still come. Don't want anybody to feel like they don't have an opportunity. I want you to come. If not, God bless you. We'll see you at 6:30 this evening. Let us stand.
Our heads. Kind Father, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness. We thank you for your kindness, and we thank you, Lord, for all that you've done this day. We thank you, Lord, for your word, and we thank you for the souls that went down in your name. Oh God, we ask you, Lord, to fill those souls that desire to be saved, oh God. In the name of Jesus, we ask you, Lord, even to help us, oh God, to let this word that we heard this morning saturate our hearts and our minds, dear God, that we can live holy and acceptable in thy sight. Oh God, in the name of Jesus, bless us from this day forward, oh God. In Jesus' name, God bless you.